better is a neighbor here than a brother somewhere else. We're still viewing ourselves primarily as part of a community somewhere else instead of here.
We're going to finish Proverbs chapter 27
this morning, a few pages further forward from Psalms. And if you can, I would really, really encourage you to pull up the sermon slides. Now, if you're watching on YouTube, there is a link in the video description. If you get our WhatsApp kind of broadcast messages and announcements, there was a link in there yesterday, also with kids' church resources of all ages and stages. But if you can pull up the sermon slides, I'd really encourage you to do so because they help us to really take in what is going on. And so if you can get to those sermon slides, you will see there are four photos, there are four pictures in the first four slides. And I would ask you, do you feel like these four pictures, the lady on her phone, the hands coming together, the board meeting, and the guy with the cool hat, I would ask you, do you feel like they show community? Now, if we were together in one place and space, I'm sure there'd be a couple of people would shout yes, and I'm sure a couple of people would shout no, not really. But when you search, well, there's a really good photo website that I use regularly to make slides. And when you search for community, these are the first four pictures that come up. A lady looking into her phone, hands in the middle, a board meeting, and a guy with the hat. So what do we see from this? Well, we see that community is something that means different things to different people. If we were to kind of pause and you were to talk in your small groups about what is a community, I'm almost positive that we would get as many different answers as there are groups, and probably more. So community means different things to different people. And today, then, we're going to take this part of Proverbs 27, and we're going to see what it teaches us about community. We're going to see how we use God's wisdom, as we've been doing through this book, in community, how a thoroughly Christian community, a community that is focused and built on following Jesus, how that conducts itself. Obviously, in the next 25 minutes or so, it's impossible to talk about everything that Scripture teaches us about community, but just this passage, Proverbs 27, what does it teach us about a thoroughly Christian community? So now is your last chance to join me in Proverbs 27. There's no embarrassment this week about flicking through your Bibles and being a bit late to get there because I can't see what anybody's doing, and you're not going to disturb anybody else. So we're in Proverbs 27. We're going to look at Christian community. And the first thing that Proverbs teaches us, this section of Proverbs teaches us about Christian community, is that Christian community is honest. Read with me from Proverbs 27, verse 5. It's slide number 6, if you're following along. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are excessive. You've probably maybe heard this verse before. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. A lot of times people throw it around before they're going to lay some truth on you as kind of a justification for telling you some things that are not very nice. And whilst that can be really, really frustrating to receive, let's be honest, nobody likes to receive a rebuke. The fact that somebody cares enough to tell you something for your good is a great thing. Because the alternative is that, you know, they sit on it, they don't share the truth with you, they're not honest with you. And when people sit on frustrations, when they don't share the truth, it usually comes bubbling up to the surface and then it explodes. And it's a much bigger deal than it could have been had these truths been shared piece by piece over time. And in a thoroughly Christian community, the context that we're talking in this morning, the idea of not sharing the truth with one another is just not an option for us. And we said at the end of June, didn't we? Say what needs saying. There should be nothing left, nothing positive, nothing upbuilding, encouraging, edifying left unsaid in a thoroughly Christian community. And that includes things that might be difficult to say and difficult to receive, but that are thoroughly good for that person. It's better to talk one-on-one, little by little, than to sit on your frustrations for an extended period of time and then confront somebody with, look, over the last 5 years, it never, ever works out well. We are reading here about direct, honest, and frank communication. Better is open rebuke. That is the currency that we deal in a thoroughly Christian community. Direct, honest, and frank communication, because we care about one another enough to say what needs saying. Better is an open rebuke than hidden love. Love does very, very little good when it is concealed. It's all well and good claiming that we care about one another, that we love one another, that we want the best for one another, but never showing it, never saying it, just merely thinking it for ourselves. Hidden love, again, as we talked about before the summer, at the end of June, is an absolute tragedy in a thoroughly Christian community. Hidden love, where positive things are left unsaid or positive things are left undone, is such a missed opportunity for a community like ours. Old Testament scholar William McCain said that what is described here then is a person who is too timid, too afraid, or not trusting enough to admit that reproof is a genuine part of love. So really, really simply, if we really care about one another, we will have those difficult conversations. We will come alongside one another first, one-on-one, and share our concerns in the light of Scripture. And I would really strongly counsel you that if you're going to have one of those conversations, please make sure that it's rooted in Scripture and not just your own opinion. So just think, you're driving to church on a Friday morning. Obviously not this Friday morning. You're driving to church on a Friday morning and you reach a point in the road that looks like slide number 7. You come to a point in the road where the road is damaged. It's full of junk, rocks, glass, and you cannot get past that point in the road in your car without seriously damaging the car. So you decide to stop and turn around and take a different route to church. As you've turned around and as you're driving back down the road, you see somebody else in their car driving to church. So what do you do? What is the kind and loving thing to do? Is it to just smile and wave and watch them go past and think, wow, they're not going to get past there. They're going to hurt themselves. They're going to ruin their car. They're going to rip up their tires. Or is the kind and loving thing to do to wave them down, to stop them and tell them, if you keep going down this road, it's not going to end well. So turn around, follow me, and let's go to church together. Let's go together. Which is the more loving option? To stop them and have a very difficult conversation, or to just wave them by with your Friday face on, your big smile, and just let them find out for themselves? There's a really, really good book about a thoroughly Christian community. And the author, Jerry Bridges, says that rebuke, kind, considerate, prayerful truths shared with one another cement friendship rather than weaken it. But if we sit on these frustrations, if we sit on what we think people are doing and then just blow up, that truly weakens friendship. But as Jerry Bridges said, kind, considerate, prayerfully administered conversations that share difficult truths with one another they cement friendships. And it sounds a little bit counterintuitive. You will come to love the people who call you out on things more than those who just smile and wave and then you don't see for a little while. And it sounds really counterintuitive, but from personal experience, I can tell you it is 100% true. You come to truly love and value the people in your life, in our community, who are kind enough, considerate enough, prayerful enough to have those conversations with you. So the first point for us from Proverbs 27 is that Christian community is honest. The next point for us is that Christian community is here. Christian community is right here. Verse 10 tells us, do not forsake your friend and your father's friend, and do not enter your brother's house in the day of your disaster. A nearby neighbor is better than a brother far away. Now, there are a couple of different ways to look at this verse. Some people like to think that it's completely unconnected, and it's three separate statements that are totally unrelated. So respect friendships, both yours and your family's. Maintain relationships to the point where you see one another more often than at a funeral, and be grateful for the people around you. And that is a very valid interpretation of verse 10. Other people think that it's building a case that says those people who are there and available in your life are better friends, stronger community than those who are not in your life here right now. And so in that view of verse 10, the third statement, a neighbor nearby is better than a brother far away, is really excuse me, the crux of what is going on here. And whilst both are very, very valid interpretations of verse 10, that final statement, whether we look at it by itself or whether it is the crescendo of the whole verse, is so good for a community like ours. It is so applicable to a Christian community, a church like ours. A neighbor nearby is better than a brother far away. Better is the person in your life here right now than those who live somewhere else. Now, please don't misunderstand me. Yes, please do continue to care for and to maintain relationships that you hold in all of the places that you've come to Bahrain from. You don't need to excommunicate anybody in your life when you move here or when you join a church in a different place. But do your best to not neglect those friendships, those relationships. But again, for a church like ours, for a community like this, this truth is just so good. A neighbor nearby is better than a brother far away. You know, in the time that I've lived here, the most fruitful people in the community, the most content, the happiest people that we have met here in more than 10 years in Bahrain are those who arrive here and enter into the mindset that this is my home. Whether it's for a year, a couple of years, whether it's for 10 years or more, this is my home. This is my church. These are my people. And this is my community, the happiest people we've met here, the most content people, the most fruitful people in terms of their faith have that mindset. Other people you meet and they say stuff like, oh yeah, next week my church is doing this and they're going here and you're going there. And you feel like maybe I missed an announcement. Maybe I didn't check my WhatsApp messages. Maybe I didn't look on social media. I have no idea that the church is doing that next week. But they're really talking about a community and a church body that they were part of in a different country. And they never quite enter into the mindset that I live in Bahrain right now. Therefore, this is my community. These are my people. And for whatever length of time, this is my church. And that can be really confusing when you talk to people. But more importantly than that, It is a huge missed opportunity that there is a neighbor, there is a community, there's a church right here that needs you, that wants you to really get involved, to jump in, to be plugged in, however you like to phrase being involved at church, being a contributor, not a consumer, because a neighbor nearby is better than a friend far away. A friend of mine wrote a really good book. We're hoping to bring him over in 2024 as a guest speaker. He wrote a book, Dr. Philip Nation, called Habits for Holiness. Thoroughly recommend. He talks about things we can do to better live out the call in our lives, be holy as I am holy, to continue our sanctification, to live a thoroughly Christian life. And Philip said, our social disconnection reveals our spiritual disconnection. Because it is so, so hard, maybe impossible, to be a fruitful and fulfilled part of the community when we are disconnected from it. Because we still view ourselves primarily as part of a different community in a different country on a different continent. And we never really engage with the fact, with the truth, that better is a neighbor here than a brother somewhere else. We're still viewing ourselves primarily as part of a community somewhere else instead of here. So whether you're going to be in Bahrain for the next 6 months, for the next year, for the next 10 years, I would really encourage you with the truths of Scripture to see that God has brought you here, and it's not by accident. There is a community here, and you are needed and valued and loved here. And no, please don't excommunicate everybody else in your life just because you live here. You don't need to cut all ties to all churches and all communities that you're a part of somewhere else. But see what God is saying to you here, about your life here, about your community here. A neighbor nearby is better than a brother far away. So Christian community then, first, is honest. And secondly, Christian community is right here. And then finally this morning, Christian community is intentional. Read with me from verse 17. You've very likely heard this verse before. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a person sharpens his friend. If you are not brand new to navigating the Bible, Scripture, God's Word, you've probably heard this verse before. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens their friend. But what is really going on here? What is really being said? What is God saying to you and me today through Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpening iron? Well, very, very simply, I believe that God is saying that we have to want to do community. Christian community is intentional community. It's so often quoted, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another, so a person sharpens their friend. How do we do that? Again, we've lived here for a little while now. We've met people from all over the world, from all kinds of church, denominational, Christian backgrounds. And I'm not sure if there's a verse in the Bible that is applied in so many ways. Some people think seem to think that Proverbs 27:17 talks about iron sharpens iron, and that means we kind of very gently and quite passively and quite softly spend time with one another. We never really have any difficult conversations. It just kind of happens to us. But I'm not sure if you've ever seen a picture of iron being sharpened. I've definitely shared these in church before. If you're following along with the slides, just look at slide number 10 for me. There are two pictures on slide number 10 of iron being sharpened. So just look at those pictures and ask yourself, does this look soft and without effort? Does this look easy, iron being sharpened? Does it look passive? Does it look something that gently washes over us without us ever really being aware of it? I think if we're honest, no, it doesn't. Iron being sharpened doesn't happen without intentional effort. And if you look at those pictures, there is tension, there is friction, and there is 100% intentionality. The people in those pictures want to be doing what they're doing. There's discomfort there. It's difficult. It's hard. It takes real effort. They want to sharpen that iron. It's not a passive process. Now, again, please don't misunderstand me here. Iron sharpening a thoroughly Christian community with honesty and here-ness. We're not going to go around and start conflict, start some of that iron sharpening to really sharpen one another. Intentionally sort out conflict very, very rarely, if ever at all, works out well. So starting arguments with people just to have an argument with them so you can really help them in their growth, that never works out well. But within the context of a believing and intentional friendship, where we've already established that both sides want to pursue growth and sanctification, the day-by-day process of becoming more like Jesus, where that has been established, where we know that both sides care about enough about each other to be open, to be honest, to be present. The frictional fellowship of iron sharpening has a thoroughly biblical place in our life. And again, I know in my own life, on my own walk with the Lord, that I've always appreciated, and I do appreciate those people with whom I have this relationship, this kind of relationship, that kind of friction where you know you can talk to one another about the really difficult things because the context is one of honesty and openness and where a mutual care for one another has already been established. And then this kind of very, very scriptural iron sharpening is free to take place. And I think it's fair to say for me that my closest relationships with people in church are with the people that I've probably disagreed with and been sharpened by the most times. And rather than resent that, as we've said already from this chapter, rather than resent that, you really come to respect that, that people care enough about you to lovingly and honestly and openly share with you what's going on. It's the truth in love, and it's the whole truth, and it's nothing but the truth. So thoroughly Christian community then in this part of Proverbs, we've seen that it's honest, that it's here right in front of us, and that it is intentional as well. And we've said as we've been working through Proverbs that there is an immediate application. Yes, this helps us to better live out God's plan for Christian community. But there is also a really big picture application as well. So how does this help us follow Jesus, the person and the truth around which our community is built? Well, those same principles, the honesty, the presence being here, and the intentionality, as well as helping us to live with one another in community also help us to follow Jesus better as well. Again, Proverbs is so good for the here and the now. It's very supremely practical, but it also addresses the big picture of our faith. And so as people, as Christians, as a believer in Jesus, we're honest. And as we're honest with one another, we need to be really, really honest with ourselves as well. Scripture tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that the wages of this, what we get in return for our sin, is death. Honesty begins with accepting that about ourselves, being truthful and honest and knowing that we're not at all. We are not a bunch of perfect people that come together on a Friday to celebrate our perfection. Instead, accepting that we're a bunch of honest, broken sinners who come together to praise the God who saved us, and we worship the God who in grace and love redeemed us from that state. And as we're honest about ourselves, we understand that the salvation, the forgiveness, the eternal life are available to us right here. We no longer need to be in a certain place, connected to a certain or special community. We no longer need to be in a certain place at a certain time or from a certain place to know God, to find God. What was earned at the cross and evidenced in the resurrection is freely available to you and to me here and now. We no longer need to be in a certain place or from a certain place or be part of a special family. God's forgiveness and grace are available to you and to me here and now. And then finally, our faith, following Jesus for us, is intentional. As we said about the friendships and the iron sharpening, we have to want to do it. This is not something passive that we simply let wash over us and then we're magically transported off to somewhere better. We don't get fit, strong. We don't learn a language by accident. Doing things like that in our lives takes effort over time. We need to seek out those changes. And as that is true for everything in your life, neither will God force himself upon you. Your sanctification doesn't happen by accident. Nobody comes along and magically polishes out all your faults once you say that you believe in Jesus. You accept who he is, what he's done for you, what it means for you. Becoming born again is not something magic that then allows us to very easily and without any kind of participation ourselves become this fantastic, stupendous person. There was one old famous preacher that said, "You will never be saved or sanctified against your will. God drags nobody to heaven by the ears." So when you've been saved, forgiven, born again by grace and through faith, and let's be really, really clear, that takes no work, no deeds, no, that doesn't come from you. That is a gift from God that comes when you admit that you're not all that great, that you have sinned and fallen short, but Jesus never did, and that he paid the price for you on that cross. Let's be really clear that that does come without anything other than a confession, repentance, and faith. When you have been saved, when you have been forgiven, when you are born again by grace and through faith, what do we do then? That's when our part in all of this begins. Philippians 2 said, "God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him." As we're born again by grace and through faith, that is when we truly enter into the process. And God's sovereignty and our free will come together beautifully there in Philippians 2. God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Ours is a faith that is active, it is intentional. The intentional effort from us begins after we've been saved, forgiven, and redeemed. The choice that we have, the choice to take what we've been given by grace and put it to work, means that ours is a faith with intention and with action. So we're intentional in our friendships, in our commitment to the community, but also we're intentional to use the faith that binds us together. We had planned to take communion together now as a community. It gives us a wonderful opportunity to be honest with ourselves, to be here, to be present, to be intentional in our faith, to give action to what we say that we believe, to physically demonstrate what we believe, as we do with baptism. And Lord willing, we'll do that next week. It never really, it's not the same doing it online. So for today then, I would leave you with these truths that in our expression of the church, in our Christian community, we're honest, we're here, and we're intentional. And also in our faith, big picture, we're honest with ourselves, we're here, we're present. It's available to you right now, here and now, and we're also intentional in that we use what God freely gives us. So we're going to pray together, and then we're going to talk about next week.